Does knowing something mean you actually know something? Couples looking forward to having a baby can, at just 10 weeks into pregnancy, have a routine blood test that can tell if a fetus is a boy or a girl and if the fetus is at risk for complications, a whole range of complications. Lee Herzenberg did not have the option of a test back in 1961 when she and her husband grappled with the unexpected after the birth of her son.
The baby was lost. This, you know, we hugged each other, and it was, you know, a terrible conversation to realize that you'd lost the baby. There wasn't this question of what if or whatever. It just, this was what happened. And so, but, you know, we knew immediately what we would do. We had already made the decision that this was not a good thing to take the baby home. And so we didn't.
Lee and her husband, parent of a Down syndrome son, they gave up that son at birth, started to advocate for a better prenatal blood test in the late 1970s. And you can hear her story this week on Only Human, a health podcast from WNYC Studios. Mary Harris is Only Human's host and managing editor. She joins me now. Mary, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Great to see you.
The range of tests that's available to you that suggests to new parents that you can know the future is something that was unheard of even 40 years ago, right?
Well, the weird thing to me is that 8 years ago I had my first kid, and the prenatal testing seemed like witchcraft to me. It was like a couple of blood tests, and then we're going to measure the neck. I was given this odds ratio, like you have a one in whatever chance of Down syndrome. Now, at 10 weeks, you get this blood test, and it tells you very accurately not just risk of Down syndrome, but the child's gender. And now they're screening across the genome for all kinds of chromosomal abnormalities, and you kind of don't know what you're going to find or really what it means.
What is the total range of possibilities that they can screen for in this new test, this blood test?
Well, so now there's a test where they literally look at all of the genetic information. So here's a good example, chromosome 16. It's incompatible with life. So if you are screening positive for chromosome 16, it means probably you're going to miscarry the pregnancy. But there's mosaic chromosome 16 or abnormalities where there's problems in some cells and not others. And that can have a screen positive too. And then you really don't know what it means. 20% of those kids are fine. Some of them are a little bit small. Some of them need a lot more care.
So the experience of Lee Herzenberg that we played at the top of this segment, talking about her lost baby and maybe having a decision, having more information would have helped, is sort of correct, maybe not correct.
No, I mean, it is correct. She would have made a different decision if she knew. But that's a really personal thing. What's interesting to me is now this test is a reality. And Lee Herzenberg says, you know, I think it's wonderful that women can screen for Down syndrome, but I hate that they can screen for gender because that means you could abort for gender.
Here's Dr. Diana Bianchi talking about the Herzenberg experience and also just the ubiquity of these tests.
At the end of the day, it's hard to think of another test that's used in medicine that has been incorporated so rapidly into care and has totally transformed prenatal screening and diagnosis worldwide.
And this transformation, as you note, you know, so it's bad to screen for gender, but it's okay to screen for Downs. Why is that the case? I mean, why is it any better to screen for Downs? There are plenty of perfectly wonderful families with Down syndrome kids all over the world today. And if you'd asked any of them if they would have preferred that the kid had not been born, they not only would they be insulted and angry at you, but they would be heartbroken.
Well, here's the interesting thing to me. Diana Bianchi, who we just heard from there, she was really there at the beginning. She was there when this test was sort of just a notion. And she's followed it through. It's become her life's work. Now her work is to try to treat Down syndrome in the womb. So she's trying to flip the script here. Right now, what people talk about is you get this test and it gives you the ability to decide whether you're going to continue the pregnancy or end it, right? And she's saying, I want to do something different. She's saying, I want to give parents the opportunity not just to prepare for a child with Down syndrome, but I want to potentially treat them in utero because you get your results at 10 weeks. You know, you might have a kid with Down syndrome. A lot of people in America choose to keep those babies. In the UK, it's very different. But in the United States, 44% of parents choose to keep a pregnancy with Down syndrome.
And there are people who say that to not view a Down syndrome child as normal constitutes a controversial sort of approach to human beings. I mean, here's Kurt Kondrick.
By not giving the facts out about these children, what we've done is it's silent eugenics because you're identifying, targeting, eliminating a group of people based on misinformation and based on what you perceive as a mandated perfection.
Mandated perfection. Let's explore that a little bit. When a couple goes in and has this test, are they told your child is presumed to be perfect unless Down syndrome, this is not perfect, this is not normal?
What people are told when they get these tests is really varying. These tests are rolled out so quickly. They've just been available over the last 5 years, and you just get them at your OBGYN's office. So you get a really wide variety of information. Now, Kurt Kondrick, he has a daughter with Down syndrome. She's 13. She's reading at grade level. She's really benefited from early intervention programs, and he really wanted to change how people thought of this diagnosis. So he passed a law in Pennsylvania that actually mandates the kind of information you get when you get these test results, and it's all about the early intervention system and what kind of services are available to you, and it's not about abortion, because he wanted to just change how people thought of this diagnosis.
Has this conflated itself into the whole abortion debate, where certain families, couples, would feel there's an element of choice that comes with this test and the information associated with this test that is equivalent in some way to the choice that we associate with the abortion debate?
We really have to tease apart the abortion debate and the diagnosis debate, because they don't mean the same thing. A diagnosis doesn't mean something's wrong with your kid. One of the things that Kurt Kondrick said was, we're all like one car accident away, one horrible event away from being a disabled person. And if you live long enough, someone's going to change your diapers. So it's like we're all going to be down this road, and we need to start thinking about how we care for the people in our lives. I thought that was a really interesting point.
Before we go, what do your listeners and your podcast users say about an issue like this in a country where it's legal to abort, but yet there are controversies associated with other choices that are made in utero? How does that work?
So I really want to know what people think about this, because I think this is a debate we need to be having in this country. So I would love it if people went to onlyhuman.org and told us what they thought about this, because this is a brand new test and it's raising a lot of really important questions.
Mary Harris is host and managing editor of Only Human, WNYC Studios' health program. You can hear more about the blood test for Down syndrome on today's episode.